My guest today is Lino Todros. How are you, Lino?
Hi, David. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for being on my show.
Thank you for having me.
What do you do, Lino?
I'm the CEO of a falafel software company. We are based in California, and we have offices all over the United States and in Canada and also in Amsterdam now.
Ah, nice. Now, I've heard of falafel, and I've always thought that they were a .NET shop, a Microsoft-only shop. But talking to you last night, that's not true.
That's true. For the first 10 years of the company, we have been known to be a .NET shop. But for the last two and a half years, we have created a mobile department to do a lot of iPhone and Android and iPad and a lot of mobile apps outside of the Windows platform. But also now we added Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8 to it as well.
Okay. So are you one of these people that targets native applications? Or are you targeting cross, write once and deploy everywhere? What's your
philosophy? We do it both ways. So really, okay. The customer is the one that they dictate how they want to do it.
Okay.
We try to give the pros and cons for everything, and they get to choose. For Wall Street, for instance, they usually want us to do it in native apps. For people that don't care and they want to only pay for it once and get it to work in both. So this hybrid application would work as well.
I'm intrigued by the hybrid thing because there's a lot of people that have tried doing this with different degrees of success. What's your approach to doing hybrid applications?
Well, I've been in the industry for a long, long time. So the word hybrid or write once, run everywhere, usually I meet it with a lot of skepticalism.
Me too, yeah.
So for this one here with HTML5 and JavaScript, it makes a lot of sense for a lot of different applications. I won't say for all applications. Some applications really are geared towards the flexibility and the speed of native applications.
But is that the key is the flexibility and speed that you really need if you want to go native?
Yeah, a little bit more power talking straight to the metal. Yes, it will make a difference in the performance.
Okay.
But, with HTML5, you can get pretty close, but still, it's not as it's going to be performant.
Okay. But keeping costs down and you want to get pretty close, then cross-platform is the way to go.
There is definitely HTML5. A place for it. There is definitely a place
for it. Okay. How are you building these?
Well, we are doing this with Icenium now from the Telerik product. It actually is a great product. We're using Kendo UI, some Icenium. We use some Bootstrap. As well from Twitter to do some things. So we do a lot of things. And also for Sitefinity development, we do a lot of responsive design. So it's a mix of a lot of different things. But for the hybrid app, we have been very impressed with the Icenium product.
Did you say using Sitefinity on mobile devices?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay. You can actually view your websites on mobile devices using responsive design. It's built in the latest couple of releases.
I used to use that as a content management system for a user group site that I did, but never really thought about it for mobile development. So you mentioned a couple of tools here that I've seen but haven't used before. Icenium, what is that?
Icenium is a product actually that Telerik came up with. Mm-hmm. It's an excellent product to allow you to use your own IDE, for instance, on Windows, or using a browser-based IDE, which is something new to a lot of people.
Browser-based, okay, so just open up a browser,
navigate to Chrome or IE
an address, and there's an IDE right there.
An IDE will load up, and there's a compiler in the cloud that will actually run your code, and you'll be able to run it in a simulator for iPhone, iPad, Androids, tablets, or phones, and it's really amazing. It's actually a great product, and I invite everybody to go download it for free and play with it.
And that's, you don't have to have anything at all installed on your machine.
It's all running in the browser.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's all JavaScript-based HTML5. It's based on the Cordova, actually, technology.
Oh, now, what is Cordova?
It's actually, if you remember, PhoneGap that Adobe purchased. The engine behind it, open source piece, is the Cordova engine. So they're using the same thing to be able to package the whole thing and send it to an Apple Store or the Google Play.
Okay, let me make sure I get this straight here. You were explaining to me the other day, and I was a little bit... Also, there's Cordova is an engine for building cross-platform mobile applications.
It's a package to be able to package your HTML5 and JavaScript application and being able to submit it to an Apple Store or to the Google Play, for instance. So instead of being just a website, it's a full-blown application. But internally to it, it's running HTML5 and JavaScript.
Okay, and PhoneGap is Adobe's version of that or something that sits on top of that or what?
So this is the company actually that Adobe bought that actually produces the Cordova engine itself.
But Cordova is open source and PhoneGap is commercial. Is that where the distinction is?
Well, that's the piece that actually Adobe bought and now they're putting it inside of their products as well.
Okay.
But the Cordova piece, any company can actually get as an open source and build on top of
that. And one of those companies is Telerik has built Icenium on top of that.
That is correct.
And that that's so Cordova has no IDE. Icenium is the IDE. Is that primarily
the tool? Is the tool allow you to do The packaging, and also add a lot more features to it, like the Kendo UI, for instance, which is a Telerik product. Now you can combine the two together. For instance, if you use Cordova, when you write the code, for instance, for iPhone, well, now you want to make it look different on the Android, you'll have to do that work. But if you use Icinium, you only do that once, and the Icinium product will actually make it look different between Android and iPhone. You don't have to do the work for that.
Oh, so you write one, you really do write one code base, and then is there a branch in the code, or is there a button you push, or just...
No, all the data the
same,
dash...
Yeah. Is it the same code that's deployed to both devices?
It is. The same code. It's just when it executes on that platform itself. The data dashes, attributes for your HTML5, and the JavaScript technology that's being embedded inside of the code will automatically render the menus, for instance, the navigation differently between all the different platforms.
Well, that's interesting. So that's been a point of contention for a lot of these cross-platform mobile code generators, is that it doesn't quite look like a native app.
Yes,
the corners of the buttons really aren't the right angles, and so they don't quite look like an Apple.
Yeah, I agree. It doesn't look like a first-class citizen of the platform.
Is that still an issue with the
tools? No, actually, if you take a look at some of the demos on the website for Icinium or for Kendo UI, it automatically generates the same exact look and feel that you have on your Android or iPhone or iPad, so it looks pretty native. Even with the iPhone, you know, the blue, the light blue color at the top for the navigation and the backgrounds, all the stuff is built in, and you don't have to take care of that. You can just concentrate on what you're trying to accomplish with your application instead of worrying about all the plumbing and the look and feel of the platform itself.
Okay, and is it the same binaries and the same files that are deployed to each device, and then they pick and choose how they're going to render them, or is it... Does it branch?
It's branch, yeah. It is different. From the menus, you'll be able to say, I would like to deploy for the Apple Store, or you want to deploy it for the Android, and it creates the package that is needed for each one of them.
What about the experience for the user? Are they opening a browser to get to this, and are they navigating to a site, or
no,
is everything...
No, it's exactly like any other application you get from the Apple Store. You just download the app, and when you click on the icon on the iPhone, for instance, it launches the app. Inside of that pack, when the application starts, it's really running inside a browser inside of there, but you will not be able to tell the difference between that and different applications.
You don't see the Chrome around the browser.
No, there is no browser per se, like we know it.
Okay.
It's just running from inside of the content of the application itself. It's just running the HTML5 and the JavaScript in the content of the application.
And that HTML5 is loaded locally on the phone. It's
exactly.
Not reaching out to a URL on the
it
web to do it. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Otherwise, your application will not work if you don't have connections, and that would be bad.
Correct.
So it has to actually run natively when you're not connected to anything.
Okay.
Of course, if you're making calls to get like feeds or RSS or something like that from that, which is a lot of applications do, then yes, you'll have to have the connection, of course.
All right. And you mentioned one other thing, Bootstrap. What is that?
Well, Twitter have Bootstrap, which is excellent. We believe it's an excellent... a lot of people think of the word Twitter, it's only about putting in 140 characters.
Yep.
There is a lot more to it than that. If you go to the Twitter website, there is a Bootstrap, which is a huge amount of JavaScript library that you can actually download, and you can develop against it.
Hmm.
And it's actually have some very neat features. Some of it is the responsive design for mobile, for websites.
Hmm.
So if your website is great on desktops, but it doesn't look very good on an iPhone or an Android or Windows phone, you can use that Bootstrap, for instance, from Twitter, put some JavaScript code at the bottom of your pages, and you can actually change the look and feel if it finds out that you're running on a 480 by 800 screen, for instance, which is like the iPhone or something like that. So it does it for you. And that's one thing out of 100 different things that the Twitter Bootstrap can do for you.
Okay. Responsive design is basically, if I understand it correctly, it's not necessarily looking at the device itself, it's looking at the size of the screen. And,
exactly.
And styling things accordingly.
People do it both ways. They try to figure out the user agent that is being called, and if it finds out that your user agent coming in from the request is an iPhone, it renders differently.
Mm.
Responsive design has no idea at all what you're calling it from, so it doesn't care if you're iPhone or Android. It only cares about the resolution of the device. For instance, if it knows that you're calling from a device, whatever it is, it's 480 by 800, it will automatically give you the opportunity to render it differently than a desktop or an iPhone or an Android, but it doesn't care about the device at all.
The tools are getting better, right?
It is, definitely, yes. We're being spoiled. In our industry, you cannot get sick. You get sick for a week, you're behind technology.
I better stay healthy. Anything else we should talk about that we haven't yet?
Any questions you have?
I'm
happy
out of questions.
To do my best.
Do you have an online presence?
Oh, yes, we do actually have an online place. We have our blog at falafel.com where all the employees actually Put a lot of blogs, a lot of technical blogs. I definitely invite everybody to go read them. Falafel.com. We have a conference coming up in June in the Bay Area.
Oh, yeah?
The FalafelCon 2013.
What was it, developers conference?
It's a developers conference. We have a lot of speakers, a lot of friends like Scott Hanselman and Tim Huckabee and Michelle Bustamante. And a lot of different people from all over. Steve Forte is coming all the way from Hong Kong for the conference. So we have a lot of different speakers coming. And a lot of the Falafel employees and architects will be speaking at the conference as
what
well.
What is that?
That's June 10th and 11th in Mountain View in the Microsoft building in the Bay Area.
Lino, thanks so much.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me, David. I appreciate it. I love the concepts of technology and friends because this is how I base my company on. We work with a lot of different technologies. We're geeks, but we also like to work in a family environment. All the employees are part of my family. So friends forever and great technology. Can't have it any better than that.